So for the Gemara in Chulin, the first parak of Chulin, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, which gave us basis for, introduced us to the core concepts of Chazaka de Mekara, of Rove, and specifically both Ruba de Issa Kaman and Ruba de Leisa Kaman. We've spent time, we've come to two other sugyas, each of which, as we saw over the last couple of days, is internally difficult, and putting the two Gemaras together yields a further kasha. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Pei Amud Aleph, on the one hand, it was calling a Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Taros, Tina Kanimtze B'Sad Ha'isa, Rove versus Chazaka, Machlokas from Meir the Chachamim, whether when you have a conflict between Rove and Chazaka, Rove Tinokas Metapchin, seems like the Issa is Tamei. On the other hand, the Issa has a Chazkas Tahar, which would indicate that it's Tahar. Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, whether the Chazaka is supreme or the Rove is supreme. Meir Metaher, because he says we follow the Chazaka. Smoke Miuto La Chazaka. And we pass the Chachamim that no, the Rove is supreme. Ruba Vachazaka, Ruba Adif. And that Gemara was internally difficult because we didn't really understand the Gemara was giving svaras. The Mishnah begins to give svaras for Chachamim, and the Gemara digs further, and the Gemara explains that Davada there's a Cheskas Tahara. The Mishnah had pointed out yes, but according to the Chachamim there's a rove. What the Gemara points out is a rove. Darker Shaltinik L'Tapeach. Most probably, according to Rashi understands it, most probably the child, the toddler is already tummy. So how do you understand? How do you deal with the two? So the Gemara said, well, according to the Kedra Meir, you add the miuta to the chazaka. So it's a 2-on-1. And according to the Chachamim, miuta command delays a dummy. You ignore the. It's as though the miuta doesn't exist. You understand either svara. Miut is not, on the one hand, the miut does exist. What do you mean, the miut doesn't exist? Is this farcical or is this factual? Or we're pretending there's no miut? Of course there is a miut. It would be ironic that in the context of Torah Sasveik, as we're trying to figure out what the facts are, we're going to ignore the facts. But what does it mean, miut to command delay, say dummy? That's the svar of the Chachamim. And le'idach yisa, what does it mean that for a mayor, well, it's a 2-on-1 because you have chazaka and miut. Miut is not a rule. Miut is a mitzias. It's odd that the Chacham deny the reality of the miut. On the other hand, there's no rule of following the miut. Miut is not one of the tools. They're like, oh, we're going to paskin based on the miut. Chazaka can tell me how to paskin. Rove can tell me how to paskin. No paskin based on a miut. So the svaras on both sides of that gemara, kiddush and daf pei, are difficult. L'idachisa. When we turned our attention to Pesachim Daf Yud, which happens to also be the same sugya in Ksubas Daf Chav Zayin, quoting the Mishnah two parakim later in Maseches Taros, the Mishnah of the Shnei Shvilin, at the Gemara Daf Yud, this is the case of Shnei Shvilin. That's the title. Probably the most famous Mishnah in Maseches Taros, of the two roads. We spoke about it yesterday. Two roads. One of the two roads has a mace kavur l'rachma. One of the two roads has a on one of those two roads is a mace buried below the road. And if you walk on that road, you will definitely become tummy. The problem is just that it's a lost kever. We're not sure. I said yesterday maybe it was a kavura during a blizzard or some other type of crisis. We know the mace is on one of the two. We don't know which. So if I were to walk on one of the two roads, I don't know whether I just became Tamei. I know that previously I was Tahar, Cheskas Tahara. But the plot thickens when, as the Mishnah presents it, you have two people, each one walked on one of the two roads. Each one knows which road he walked on. One walked on Amsterdam, one walked on Audubon. One walked on road number one, one walked on road number two. The problem is just that I don't know which of the two, Shvilin, is the one which is Tamei. Is it path one or is it path two? So what the Mishnah had said something somewhat surprising, and the Gemara had made it even more surprising. The Mishnah had said, the Mishnah made it sound like, according to Biosi, those Tamei,
I can tell them both tahar. They're both tamei. One of them is definitely tamei, clearly. Factually, one of them walked over a mace. Because Reuben walked on road one, and Shimon walked on road two. So obviously, one of them walked over the mace. I just don't know which one is which. So Rabbi Yossi says, tamei, both tamei. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends if they ask together or separately. Which at first sounds odd. The Tosis begins to explain. That's all midrabanan. That means min haTorah, Rabbi Yehuda holds are always tahar. In other words, fundamentally, Chazaka tells them both tahar, even though one of those is just not true. Midrabanan, we're not going to give the psak. We're not going to give that psak. It's correct that they're both tahar because of Chazaka, but we're not going to deliver that psak if it's going to sound absurd, because it's going to make halacha seem like a chulcha v'tlula. Can make halacha sound silly? And the Gemara goes on to say that really, even Rabbi Yossi, everyone agrees to that. All the Tanaim agree. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that fundamentally they're both tahar. And there is a case where even according to Rabbi Yossi, they both get the psak of tahar. And that's what the Amoraim said. The Mishnah wasn't talking about that third case. When they truly ask separately, independently, if one shows up on Monday, Reuben shows up on Monday to ask, and Shimon shows up on Tuesday to ask, we will tell each of them, you are tahar. The same posek. The same posek will tell Shimon tahar. Will tell Reuben tahar. Right? Or as Tosas had stressed, the Mishnah speaks not so much about Reuben and Shimon as much as about Reuben's chocolate chip cookies and Shimon's shakshuka. Right? Each one was asa taharas. Why? Because Tosas had stressed. I'm going to tell Reuben your chocolate chip cookies are tahar. Right? Go eat them b'tahar. It's not going to make anything. It can touch truma. It's not going to make the truma tamei. The shakshuka will touch some other truma. Won't make it tamei. But if Reuben and Shimon both touch the same item, so then that item is tamei, because obviously one of them is tamei. So now we're in sort of this twilight zone. We're telling them each one of you is tahar, even though one of them clearly is tamei, and we do recognize that. One of the two of them is tamei. If they both touch the same third food, they both touch this mug of black coffee, Reuben and Shimon both touch it, so now a talk of the black coffee is tamei. Why? Because, well, one of them is tamei. What's going on? So why do you tell each of them separately they're tahar? And again, fundamentally, as Tosafot stressed, min haTorah, if they would both show up together, we could tell them both tahorim. Your chokshav cookies are tar and your shakshuka is tar. It's just midrabanan and chukha v'tlula. For crying out loud, why is it just nirka chukha v'tlula? It seems like it is indeed illogical. So again, within each sugya, there are internal difficulties. Within the sugya, kiddushin daf pei, but tikkunim sifsad isa. So we're not sure what the Gemara is saying about that. The muta, kikilu muta doesn't exist. And on the other hand, the smoke miuta la chazaka, what does that mean? And shnei shvilin, it's hard to understand a lot. Why taka? And the Gemara says, it's all the Tanaim say, fundamentally they're both tar. But if they combine, then they're tamim. What's going on? So how do we tell them it's tar? One of them is tamim. So, and then, of course, this problem, in addition to the kashas within Kiddush Daf Pei, and the kashas within Psachim Daf Yod, there's also the question of this: what seems like a steer between the two. In Kiddush Daf Pei, we pass from Ruva Chazaka Ruva Adif, as though Chazaka is low level. In Psachim, we're saying that Chazaka is incredibly powerful. We're not really sure how this works, but Chazaka can sometimes defy logic. Chazaka is not a weak rule. Chazaka is Superman. So what's going on? What's going on? Let me ask you one more question. A line, and then one more question. The line, the first line of thinking about this might be that and thinking about, isn't it a stira which is stronger? So Reb Shimon suggests maybe that's a false dichotomy. Maybe neither one is really strong. It's not like this like scale, and one has 10 points, one has 3 points. Maybe they're different. I don't mean that in a shallow way. Maybe they work differently. So sometimes, in some contexts, one is going to be stronger, and in other contexts, the other one will be stronger. Like if I have a yard next door to the tool room, if I have a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver, which one is stronger?
Depends.
It depends what type of screw you're dealing with. Sometimes, not always, right? Some screws can take either a screwdriver. Some screws will only take a flathead, and some screws will only take a Phillips. Is either one stronger? It's not a one-dimensional scale. They're different tools. In some contexts, one works better. In other contexts, another one works better. Which is stronger, a hammer or a saw? It's a sort of a silly question. There are some things that you can accomplish with either one, and there are plenty of things you can only do well with a saw. Other things you can only do well with a hammer. And sometimes they overlap. So that's where Shimon gets us thinking, maybe they're different. Maybe Rove and Chazaka work differently. And I want to get you thinking about the following question. One other kasha we haven't yet really touched on, which is when you think for a moment about the Chazaka in Kiddushin. What was the Chazaka? Tina Benim Sebezara Isa, right? The mayor says, Tar based on Chazaka. And we say, no, tell me. Because Ruba Chazaka Ruba. Yeah, what was the Chazaka there? I'm sorry?
That the stuff was tar.
That the stuff was tar, right? The dough, the chocolate chip cookie dough, had been tar until 5 minutes ago, right? Then walk out of the room, come back in the room, and lo and behold, in the intervening 5 minutes, a toddler showed up, and now with a handful of chocolate chip cookie dough. So he must have touched the dough, and what's the concern? What's the concern? So he touched the dough, big deal. What? The dough is tummy, why?
Because he touched
right. He probably did touch a sheretz in the past. So what's the suffix? Halacha l'maisa, the shaila is the chocolate chip cookie dough, tar or tummy. But what's the root of the suffix? What information do we lack? Right. Did this toddler touch a sheretz in the past week? In the past month? In the past year? Whatever. Since he was born? Whatever. Since the last time he went to mikvah? Right. The shaila is, where has the toddler been in the past? That's the shorish ha-suffer. That's the fact that we're not sure about. What's the chazaka about?
That
the dough was previously tar. Do you want to say anything odd?
That the chazaka wouldn't be able to prevent... meaning if the baby is tame, the fact that the dough is tar beforehand doesn't like magically shield it against the baby.
Right. The chazaka has zero connection to the shorash hasafik. The shorash hasafik is about the behavior of the tinok. The chazaka is about the fact that the dough was tame, was tar 5 minutes ago. V'lo karav ze al ze. Is the mamash no... What shaykhis?
Oh, that's why the rove would make more sense there.
Ah! So the rove, on the other hand, the rove does... God's Garvey pointed. The rove does speak to the Shorash HaSafik. The Shorash HaSafik is, where has the tinok been? That's the fact that we don't know. That's the root data that's missing. And the rove speaks to that. The rove says, you're not sure whether or not the tinok touched the sheretz? Well, I can tell you he probably did. Now, based on our wide observations of toddler behavior, most probably he got himself... He's gotten around to a couple of shrutzim recently. So Mistame he's tar. Tame, excuse me. Mistame he's tame. So the rove actually addresses the Shorash HaSafik. The Chazaka doesn't. Now, but one second. If there was no rove, let's say you have a particular type of child who's at this age, it's 50-50. There's no rove. So then what would the din be according to both Rameh and the Chachamim? Right, Chazaka tar. Isn't that strange? How does Chazaka alone works? It's only because there's a rove that's in conflict with it that the Chazaka gets knocked out. But fundamentally, it is a valid Chazaka. Isn't that strange, though? The Chazaka doesn't relate to the Shorash HaSafik. How is the Chazaka addressing? If I don't know whether this child is tamei or tara, let's say it's an adult. An adult walked in. So I don't know. I can't. Probably yes. Probably not. I have no idea. A random adult walked in. I can't really give a rove either way. We have no idea whether he's tamei or tara. And he touches the isa. So we say, well, we don't know who this guy is. He ran away. We couldn't interview him. Couldn't get any information. We have no idea where he's from, what he's been, what he does. I have no idea if he's tamei or tara. So, right? We're in the Yona zone. Ma malachta chamei ayin tavo. All the questions you want to ask him. But he's gone. So we can't ask him. So we have no idea if he's tamei or tara. Zero. Safek hashako. I have no information. So you say, oh, chazak cheskas tara of the isa. Well, cheskas tara. The shaila is what the guy did yesterday. That... The shorish has the practical shaila is the isa tahara or tamid, but the shorish hasafik is about this fellow who never saw the dough before in his life. So what does the cheskas tahara help me? Yeah,
what do you say? Give me. No reason to presume. Meaning once there's no rope, which is a reason to presume that there would be tamid, you could rely on a chazaka that's been established that it was tahara already.
Hmm.
It's not like you're thinking to yourself, well, chances are he's probably touched a mouse. Meaning, once there's no reason to assume something, then you can rely on the chazaka, even if it doesn't directly have to do with the case.
Good. And what does that tell me? We'll keep working around the room. It's going to sharpen your thinking. The fact that we've noticed a feature of chazak nemekara, which is, and there are plenty of other examples of this also. Chazak nemekara does not necessarily really address the Shorash HaSafik. Here's one example. It's the Chazak I've been thinking about. It's going to be true often. Sometimes it does. And sometimes it does. Often the Chazakah doesn't really address the Shorash HaSafik. The Safik is what happened over there. The Chazakah on the final item, which is going to, assuming there's nothing confounding it, the Chazakah will sin. But that's something where, so what does that tell you? Yeah?
I was thinking maybe you could say Chazakah wins until
the rove is accomplished. That's certainly true. Chazaka is a valid principle. Kuma and Fligi. Unless rove is there, in which case rove trumps it. We have a svek sveka, which is likely to be a form of rove. If it produces on the two ends contradictory kulas, we reject the whole svek sveka. It seems like rove cannot work in Makom Parakasas, right? Chazaka can. It seems like sometimes rove is stronger, when they're in direct conflict, rove is stronger, but there are things chazaka can do that rove cannot do. Now, and as I started telling you before, maybe think about not one is stronger than the other, maybe they work differently. Let's think about, like when I'm done, how does it work? And here's an important piece of evidence, that Chazaka can work without really addressing the Shorash HaSafik, which is surprising. What does it tell you about it, yeah?
Chazaka is illogical, whereas Rove is based on logic.
See, Yona says an important point. Chazaka is not logical. Rove is. In other words, Rove is actually addressing the facts. Yeah? What are you going to say, Yaakov?
I think that from the fact that it doesn't address the Shorash HaSafik, the way Chazak is working is in a logical way, that all it's doing is using previous facts that we know. We're not getting further than that. So that Shorash HaSafik remains how it is. Therefore, there's no common tie to the Sasa either, because if it's not addressing the Shorash HaSafik, it's not telling me it's this and that. Keeping that subject the way it is.
So let's put together what the two you were saying. Rove tells me what the facts are. I don't know where this kid has been. So Rove tells me he's probably been handling Shratzim. We don't know for sure. He's probably been handling Rove. The Rove is that he's probably been handling Shratzim. And what that tells me is that he has been handling Shratzim. That's what Rav Shimon refers to as a biur. That's actually a statement of fact. I had a suffix. I wasn't sure what the child did. And the Rove resolves that suffix. The Rove answers the question. We will assume that the facts are that this child handled trust. That's what a Rove does. And that's how we naturally operate. Probably, we work with probabilities as facts all the time in our own lives. Nothing is for certain. Just about nothing in this universe is for certain. But we work all the time. We work all the time on the assumption that what's probably true is true. So that's the Rove is a halachic margin of error. If it's 80% chance that the kid touched the sheretz, we'll assume, unless we discover otherwise, that the kid touched the sheretz. We'll take that as fact. Chazaka clearly is not a birur. Chazaka is not telling you what the facts are. That's absurd. What? Just because the dough was tahar before, therefore I know it's tahar now? Why? Yeah, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. Particularly when the chazaka doesn't even relate to the shor shasafek. The question is, just because it was tahar before has no logical bearing, has no causal bearing, I should say, on whether it's tahar. No, I know it was tahar before. But I also know that a kid touched it. Or an adult touched it. And the question is, was that person tahar or tameh? So ma kesher advar and the fact that it was tahar before, the answer is you're right. As you said, Yaakov, the chazaka doesn't answer the suffix. Chazaka doesn't tell me, assume the facts are X. Rove does, apparently. Rove could. We could imagine that a Rove actually tells me, assume the facts are X. 80% chance the facts are X, so assume the facts are X. The kid is probably, we can assume that the kid is not a Saris. We can assume that the kid is not an Islandist. We can assume that the debt was unpaid. The debt is not yet due. We're going to assume, we'll take it as fact, unless we have better proof to the contrary, the debt was not paid. We'll take that as fact. Chazaka never says, here are the facts. How would Chazaka say, here are the facts? Chazaka instead says, embrace the suffix. You don't know what the facts are? Okay, we don't know what the facts are. So what are we going to do? We're not being paralyzed. So what does the Torah tell us? How does Halacha instruct us to act when we don't know what the facts are? The Rove could actually resolve, extinguish the suffix. Chazaka says, you don't know what the facts are. Here's how you're going to act. You're going to continue to act on the same assumptions that you were using up until now if you don't know what the facts are. The Makom Suffix, maintain the same Hanhaga going forward. So in Reb Shimon's language, those who like sprach, it's always dangerous to use a terminology up front. If you front load with sprach, it often gets in the way of actually thinking and understanding. But once you have the paragraph of each one, then you could label them afterwards. If you like sprach, or if it helps you to work with the ideas, Reb Shimon suggests that Rove is a birur. Let's put that on the board. I should say somewhere in the mask. Rove is mevarer. It actually clarifies, here's the data, here are the facts. Whereas chazaka de menkara is not mevarer anything. It's a hanaga. It's a way of acting. Here's what you do when you don't know what the facts are. Rove eliminates the suffix. Chazaka says, there is a suffix, embrace it. That's the way it is. We don't know what the facts are. And therefore, you act like this, but makim suffix. So now, and that's what I was saying before, but there's not that one is necessarily bigger, better, stronger than the other in a unidimensional way. They work differently. Now let's start to think. On the one hand, if I have a Rove versus a Chazaka, then what am I going to do? Well, Chazaka tells me, here's how you act when you have a suffix. Rove extinguishes the suffix. So it's not to say that Rove is 10 points and Chazaka is minimum 3 points, but once you have a Rove, there's no suffix left. The Rove told me, here are the facts, according to the Chacham. We'll get back to Rameir soon. According to Chacham, the Rov told me here the facts. There is no suffix. So Chazaka can no longer operate. Chazaka operates when there's a surviving suffix. There is no suffix left. On the other hand, as Yaakov said, when you come to the case of the Shnei Shvilin, which was remarkable and shocking, and what do you mean that I tell each of them that he's tar? And min haTorah, I can even tell them both at the same time, you're tahorim. It's just near a kechucha, but it seems illogical. It sounds like it is illogical. Why taka does it make sense? And particularly since, as Tosa said, if they both touch the same food, well, then it is tameh. So they are tameh. So why are you saying that each food is tar? What's the answer? Because chazaka, it fundamentally is logical, exactly. Fundamentally, it does make sense to tell each of them tahar, because we're not saying, chazaka doesn't say, you did not walk over the mace. That would be absurd. To say that neither Reuven nor Shimon walked over the mace, that is false. That's ridiculous. We know the one that walked over the mace, but we don't know who. So what we are saying, if you appreciate the nuance of chazaka, what we're telling each of them is we're not sure whether or not you walked over the mace, and therefore continue to act tahar as you did before. That's the full nusach of chazak ne'kara. Cheskes tahara means I don't know what actually happened, and therefore you have the right to keep acting tahar. So those two statements are logically consistent. I could say that to both Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, I do not know whether or not you walked over a mace, and therefore keep acting tahar. Shimon, I do not know whether you walked over a mace, and therefore you should keep acting tahar. Those are logically coherent statements. And that's why, if there was food that was only touched by one of them, we treat it as tahar. But if there was food that was touched by both of them, as Tosa says, then we treat that as tameh. Because we haven't extinguished the suffix. Chazaka doesn't eliminate the suffix. It embraces the suffix. Because here's what you're doing, you're mesupim. But both Reuven and Shimon touch the same mug of black coffee, there's no suffix. I know for sure that this mug of black coffee was touched in the last 5 minutes by someone who was tummy. I'm not sure who was. I'm not sure if it was 3 minutes ago when Reuven touched it or 5 minutes ago when Shimon touched it. It doesn't matter. There's no suffix. Because, man, there's a suffix. Here's how you act. So that's why, fundamentally, if you have sophistication and you're thinking about suffix and chazaka, it's not really a chucha v'tula. It makes perfect logical sense that we can tell each of them that he's tar. But at the same time, if one's not going to be so sophisticated, then it sounds like this is ridiculous. So that's why, if they're both going to come at the same time, we're worried that to many people who will not have this degree of nuance and understand chazaka, it's nirak a chucha v'tula. It sounds silly. It sounds absurd. It isn't really absurd. If you unpack chazaka properly, no one's actually saying we know what happened. But it's going to sound that way. It's going to sound as the rabbi telling him, neither walked over the mace. And that's silly. So, Mela, Midrabanan, if they come to Vasachas, we have to tell them both Tameh. And again, as the Gemara said, as either Rav or Byochin said, Machlokas Tanam on the details. Machlokas Byochin viewed on the details. In how many cases are we worried about chucha v'tula? Only if both of them actually walked in together, or even if one of them is asking on behalf of both. But as Rava or Rav Yechin said in the Gemara, both Rav Yosef and you would agree fundamentally chazaka can work b'makom tartisas, right? That's why we mihatorah we should always tell them both tahorim, even when they come v'asachas. And lamasa we do tell them each tahor if they come separately. Again, machlokas tanan, how separate do they have to be from one another? But everyone agrees that a mamish comes separately. Reuven comes at one time to ask the rabbi, and Shimon comes a different time to ask the rabbi. Halacha, not just mea Torah, even mirabban halacha l'maisa, will tell each one you are tar. Why? Because chazaka does work, b'makam tar to disaster. B'makam tardas. Tarti disasri. A contradiction. Chazaka works. Rove would not. Why? Because Rove, Chazaka is a hanhaga. On the other hand, one second, before we get to on the other hand, another strength of chazaka, because it's a hanhaga, is that if it's not connected to the shorish hasafek, chazaka still works. Cheskas tahara works, even though Cheskas tahara of the Issa works, even though the fact that the Issa was tahar 5 minutes ago has zero bearing on the question of fact. The question of fact is this tinok tamei or tahar? Well, how does the fact that the Issa was tahar 5 minutes ago help? The answer is we're not being mavar, the suffix. We're recognizing we don't know what the story of the Issa is. We're not going to know unless we have a robe, or we have Eidim, or we have some other birur. Halacha has plenty of beirurim. It's not only rov. Eidim clearly are a very strong birur. A shtar is a birur. Okay. But if you don't have any birur, and we're left with safek, here's what you do. Continue acting as you did. And that's why chazaka, while rov typically does relate to the shorash ha-safek, chazaka doesn't relate to the shorash ha-safek. Chazaka relates to the presenting problem. Chazaka relates to the shayla lamaisa, because that's here's this item, or here's this person, who up until the moment of Safek, up until the latest HaSafek, had a certain status and was acting or being treated in a certain way, a person who was acting or an item which was being treated in a certain way, based on fact. Now we're not sure what the facts are, so if we can't figure out what the facts are, keep acting the same way. So the Chazaka is going to be kosher to the Shaila, not to the Shaila HaSafek, but on the other hand, Ruba v'chazaka, if it's Ro versus chazaka, we understand well what the Chacham said. Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. Why? Because Ro is mevar of the suffix, and then there's no room for hanhaga to work. And by the way, Rabbi said, now you understand, not only do we understand the internal kashas that we had within Shnei Shevilin, and we'll be able to piece together why there's no steer between two Gemaras. We could also go back to Kiddush and Daf Pei, and then we'll take your questions. Go back to Kiddush and Daf Pei and understand the internal kashas we had there as well. What was bothering us, Mineu Bei Kiddush and Daf Pei? What was bothering us there?
Why do the Chacham not care about the Miyut?
Right, what does it mean? The Miyut doesn't exist, and he says, no, follow the Miyut. What are they talking about? The answer is,
there's no suffix.
To say, the Chum didn't say, take a look at Yushin Ape. Take a look inside. Take a look inside, take a look inside, take a look inside. What did the Gemara not say? Oh, the Gemara didn't say a lot of things. Now, but what did the Gemara not say? The Gemara did not say, the Chum hold that the Miyut does not exist. That would be false. Of course the Miyut exists. But the Chum said, close to that, the Rabbanan Mi'uta Keman Deleisa Dame. It's as though the Mi'ut doesn't exist. What do you mean it's as though the Mi'ut doesn't exist? What does that mean? If it's a 75% Rove, so a 25% Mi'ut. If the Mi'ut didn't exist, then what would the Rove be? 100%. In other words, Vadai fact. So the Chachamim is saying, when the Torah teaches me, Chulun Daf Yud Aleph, wherever I figure, whatever the mukar is, but when the Torah teaches me that we follow Rove, you know what that means? The Torah is being mechadish, that's considered to be fact. That you don't need absolute watertight proof of every single fact, and there's a halachic margin of error, 80% chances, we'll call that fact, until we get better evidence to the contrary. So miyuta command deleisa dami. It's as though that Torah is nechalish. It's as though the miyut doesn't exist. Meaning we're treating 75% chances as this is the fact. It's a birur. That's mamish where the Gemara is mamish saying Reb Shimon. I know that's a very anachronistic way to put it. Reb Shimon is unpacking what the Gemara says, but the Gemara itself already said that svar. Miyuta is very meduyah. The Gemara didn't say the miyut doesn't exist. Of course the miyut exists. But the halacha deems it as though it doesn't exist. We treat a rove as a vadai. A rove is a mevar. And that's why chazaka falls away. When Reb Meir, on the other hand, says, smoch miyuta la chazaka, it's not that there's a separate rule called Azlin on Basar Miut. Of course, there isn't a rule called Azlin on Basar Miut. But Smoch Miut al Chazaka means you put the Miut alongside the Chazaka. The Miut reminds us that the Chazaka is all, according to Reb Meir, Rove is also merely a Hanhaga. Reb Meir disagrees with all this. Reb Meir says 75% chances, that's not the same as for sure. It's a rule. It's a rule. The same chazaka is a rule. After all, there's a miut. It's not for sure. It's merely a rule. Smoke miut al chazaka. The miut is the Achilles heel of the rove. The fact that there's a 25% miut means that another way of capturing the fact that rove is merely probably. It's not actually fact. The chachamim see rove as a beer. And Meir sees Rove as a Han Haga. I should add that that some guys already had asked when we got started, how about what the probable, does it matter what the number is? 50%, 51%, 75%, 99%. And the answer for this is absolutely yes. Blinetta will see more of this later in the year. If you learned deep into the first parak of Pesachim, you already saw this last year. That on the one hand, the Gemara Gittin, the Baal of Beis Amaral, Beis Mabeis, even Gemara says, even Meir agrees that if it's a super rove, a 99% rove, even Meir agrees, and then we consider it to be a birur. It's just that the Chacham are willing to even accept the 75% rove as a birur. And Meir says, nah, 75% rove is a 25% miut. They can't call that a fact. If it's 99%, it's only miuta de miuta against it, then already even Meir considers it to be a birur. Even Meir would agree, ruba chazaka, ruba adif. And on the other hand, for those who learn Maseches Pesachim, and I highlight this in the Maamar Makomos, you can take a look later this morning, the Gemara Daf Tesam and Aleph says that sometimes ruba chazaka is not ruba adif. That's the sugya of, the Gemara uses different terminology. Ein safik motzi midei vada. The safik of the rove is not moti from the vada, what used to be the chazaka. What happened to ruba chazaka ruba adif? The answer is, that's a case of a very weak rove. Even the chachamim agree that a 51% rove, a rove garua, it's just a rule. It's true. As we said, 12 dayanim say yes and 11 dayanim say no. Well, 12 dayanim say no, 11 dayanim say yes. We follow 12 against the 11. That's not... 51% rove doesn't tell me I'm convinced these are the facts, but that's a rule. Just like an election. The election goes 51 to 49. That's the rule. The rule is whoever got the majority of the votes wins. That's the rule. That's not Mavar Metzias. I don't say, well, because the 52% chance that the kid touched the sheretz, therefore I'm convinced they touched the sheretz. No. Even the Chachamim agree. If it's a rove garu, it's a weak rove, so that's merely a hanhaga, and that's why in Pesach and Daftes, the Gemara indicates that ruba v'chazaka is lav ruba adif, because they were talking about a weak rove. So again, let's recap and review. But what emerged from the last few minutes is that both Remeir and the Chachamim agree to this concept. It's a question of how far you apply. Both Remeir and the Chachamim agree that rove is rove from 51% to 99%. But if it's on the weaker end, it's just a rule that you follow the rove. It doesn't tell me what the facts are. Halacha doesn't recognize a 49% margin of error. 51% rove is just a rule. Follow rove. But as it gets stronger, if it's a really strong rove, so then you say it's not merely a rule, that's actually mevar the metzias. The machlokas remain the chachamim is on the details. At what point do you cross the line from a weak rove, which is merely a mavar, to a stronger rove, which is actually a weak rove, which is merely a hanhaga, to a stronger rove, which is actually mavar? We pass like the chachamim that once you get to level 2 rove, 75-80% rove bari, you're already a mavar. Ruba chazaka, ruba adif. Rove tinokus metapchen is considered to be a fact. We treat that as though it were established fact. You're within the halachic margin of error. We treat this kid as Tameh Bevada until we get some evidence, better evidence to the contrary. Whereas the mayor says, no, that idea of rove being a mavar, that's a rare It's a rarity only when you have like a super level 4 rove. Like, oh, 99%. Okay. But fundamentally, there is such a concept, which Rameyer says applies rarely, and the Chamasei applies frequently, that rove, a strong rove, is a birur. It actually tells me what the facts are. While chazaka is merely a hanaga. Chazaka isn't solving the suffix. It's just telling me, here's what you do when you have a suffix and it's not going away. When you have an unresolvable suffix, here's how you act. It's a rule of thumb for how to act. And that's Masbir, the formerly troubling language in Kiddushin Daf Pei, Miuta Kaman Deleise Dami Smaf Miuta Chazaka. It's Masbir, the formerly troubling dinim in Psachim Daf Yud. Then why indeed are we willing to rely on Chazak Makam Tarzi Sasri? And the fact that we notice there also that the Chazaka can work even though it's totally unrelated to the Shorash HaSafek. And this idea of Rov being a Birur versus Chazaka being a Hanaga explains why, although sometimes Chazaka can do things that Rov cannot, on the other hand, when they're head to head, Rov is going to reign supreme. According to Chamin, for most robes, according to Meir, only for a handful of super robes, because robe is actually mevarer the suffix, and in Meila, there's no chazaka is irrelevant. There no longer is a suffix that requires a hanaga. A lot of hands, a lot of questions. Shmuel.
According to Rav Shimon, wouldn't it make more sense for the Rabbanan to say, instead of saying that the miyat, that it's not like it exists, just to say that the chazaka doesn't exist in this case? Because if there's a real difference, no chazaka.
You're right. That's a good point. Except I would push back, in terms of the logical flow of thinking here, the first step is that the rov is a mevarer. Once the rov is a mevarer, so then the suffix is eliminated, and then chazak is no longer relevant. Right, so the first step is that the rov is mevarer, the suffix, and therefore the suffix disappeared. So the Gemara is addressing the first step, which is, we treat the miut, according to Chachamim, we treat the miut as though it doesn't exist. Because according to Chachamim, the chiddush of rov, the chiddush of Torah rov, is that it's mavar. So the menela, the chazaka still exists, but as a result, the chazaka is no longer relevant.
So saying rov miut is basically just saying that the rov is so strong that it's a rov. Miut
amad leisedami means that the al pidin, the rov is a mavar. And therefore we treat this as established fact. Questions? Yeah, Amit.
Why does the Gemara, in the case of the child with the shunted, why does it use the chazaka on the dough and not say there's a chazaka that the child is tower? Because we don't know whether the child touched the sheretz, or the child was born tower, or at one point went to the mikvah, and then, so we assume that the child is still tower.
That's a good point. That's an interesting question. The Gemara could have, there's a cheskes tower on the dough, there's also a cheskes tower on the kid. The kid was presumably born Torah at some point in his life. So, why did Mark talk about that chazaka? Yeah?
Because the dough, just a couple minutes ago, it was able to use our ingredients. The baby, it's not a subject whether he was at one point in his life Torah, it's just you don't know exactly when he was Torah, but with the dough, you know right before the baby
okay.
His hand.
So, God would say, number one, the data set to establish the chazaka for the dough is more readily available. You may have to reach farther back. When is the last time you know for sure the tinuk was tar? He said, well, if we know he went to mikvah at some point, okay. If we don't know that, we say, well, he was probably born tar. Now, it's yesh la'ayin, is it possible for kids to be born tamei? Something to think about. Plus, I would say further, thinking about what we're saying here, that chazak is a hanhaga. So, the shaila, that's exactly the point. Rov is typically going to relate to the Shorash HaSafek because it's addressing the factual question. Chazaka is telling you, if you don't know what the facts are, here's what you do. So if the Tinok's mother came to ask us, what's the status of the Tinok? So we would say, does the Tinok have a Cheskas Tahar? But the shaila is not being presented from the point of view of the Tinok. The shaila, the presenting problem, the presenting shaila is, what's the status of my Isa? So, chazak is exact opposite of rov. As much as possible, we're actually going to focus on the presenting shaila. This dough was tar, is it still tar? The background is the kid and the sheretz and all that. So that's probably the, aside from the question of is there even clearly a cheskas tara on the kid, do we know for sure he was tara at some point in time? Aside from that, it's not as relevant. It's more relevant to the shor shasafik, but for a chazaka, it's less relevant. It's less relevant to the shayla. The shayla is being presented on the east side. Yeah, questions? Raf.
Once the chazaka already saying that the Moshe Yisrael got concerned back and that we win, so why don't they have Shalva Lush and the chazaka? Like, they kind of.
As I think, Rafi, I think you're asking what Shmuel was asking, which is why the Chachamim in Kiddush Nape addressed themselves to the robe, why not to the Chazaka. I think the answer, the robe comes, the, in terms of the logical train of thinking, the first step is the robe. I have a Chazaka, but if robe is, if I have a robe, and robe is a Mavar, that means I no longer have any Safik. As a result, consequently, Chazaka is now irrelevant. But the Svara begins with the status of Rov. The Chazaka as a result gets kicked out. But the starting point is Ruba is the strength of the Rov that muta command the Leisadam. And by the way, the other Lashon, the Lashon of the Meir was Smoch muta Chazaka v'Israel Ruba. Combine the meat with the chazaka is going to weaken the robe, right? Because it bespeaks a robe that's merely a hanaga and therefore can lose to the other hanaga of chazaka. Yeah, question.
Is there what a difference from the mayor about if it's a ruba de isakaman versus like a ruba de
lesakaman? That's a good question. Is there a difference between ruba de isakaman versus ruba de lesakaman? One could make the argument, we're probably getting a little too deep too quickly. But it's a very sharp kasha. It's conceivable that you can make the argument that a ruba de isa kaman is less likely to be a biru. Because I know for sure this meat is kasher because of the teisha chanuyos. Maybe. On the other hand, it's a little harder to say a biru when it's isa kaman. Here are the data. I know that there is something usher flowing around here. It's what the Gemara Krisus calls ikba isura. I know, and there's a difference between saying, I don't know what this piece of meat is, versus saying, I have two pieces of meat, one of them is kosher, one is treif, I don't know which is which. Even if the numbers aren't different, the probabilities aren't different, but it's a different chaloshem of safek, when it's ikba isura. So in general, ruba de isa kaman will be more of an ikba isura type of idea than ruba le isa kaman. Ruba le isa kaman, this kid might be tari, might be tummy. That's the question, what is he? But I don't know for sure either way. Ruben Yisakabman is... I know that there's kosher meat flowing around this town. I know there's trefa meat flowing around this town. I'm not sure what this piece is. It's a little harder to say, not impossible, but it's harder to say a birur when it's ikba yisura, when it's Yisakabman. So it's conceivable that maybe Ruben Chazak, Ruben Adiv, you have to figure out. You got to look around, you got to see. Do we say Ruben Chazak Ruben Adiv even by Isa Kaman or only by Leisa Kaman? The Gemara in Kiddush is talking about Leisa Kaman. Yeah, fresh hand, someone hasn't asked a question yet. Yes?
According to the fund that it is a beer, at what level does that beer apply? Is that we're clarifying what the Metzias is, or is that we're changing the Metzias? Meaning, does this whatever the Chatzit, does it get the status of what the robe says it is, or is it that we could assume that it has that status?
The latter. I'll give you an example. Another item, another tool in our toolbox of Torah Sasvekas, so far we have robe, we have Chazaka, we mentioned Edim and Shtar and so forth. Another tool that you spent a lot of time thinking about last year, if you're learning the beginning of this Mesachas Pesachim, another tool for dealing with the Safik is... It requires a light source, like a candle or a flashlight. Nika, right? I don't know whether there's chametz in this house or not. So how am I going to deal with that? Well, one way is look and see. Right? So Bedika, Rabbi Adava talks about this in the first part of Pesachim. Bedika is a way of dealing with safek. I don't know whether there's chametz in the house. I do a Bedika, now I can assume there's no chametz left. Again, it's really dealing with what factually is still a safek. You can do a bedika and miss something. It happens to the best of us. After on Pesach, after Pesach, that we didn't, not that people did a shoddy bidika, they did an honest bidika. A human error, you missed something. It turns out that when you peeked under the couch, you thought there was just dust balls in the back. As a matter of fact, those were 3 donuts from Krispy Kreme. So they're not necessarily quite as tasty 2 weeks later, but they are not only royal achilas kelev, they're royal achilas plenty of bnei adam also. So it happens sometimes. You did a bedika, and there are still is chametz. So you really like Krispy Kreme. Wow, okay. I'll keep that in mind, believe it or not. So Rabbeinu David talks about the following. Let's say that scenario. You find the chametz on Pesach. Hashem Yimitzah Bluska Yafa. Remember that Gemara from last year? Hashem Yimitzah Bluska Yafa. So you find the Gluska Yafa. Krispy Kreme is definitely Gluska Yafa. We have an absolute beer. Clear Krispy Kreme is Gluska Yafa. So then what? So Rabbeinu David says, if you think about the Gemara there, the Gemara is saying, from when you find it and on, if you don't get rid of it right away, if you're Masha, you violate by Rabbi Matzei Mikano Lahaba. How about the first 3 days of Pesach, when the Gluska Yafa was there undetected? Do I say Lemafreya? Now, in retrospect, I know that really there was Chametz. It was Bishogeg. I didn't know. No, Rabbi David says zero. You're not in violation of anything until you find it, because for the first 3 days, you were working based on the bedika. You did a bedika. Bedika is mevar. There's no chametz here, which is fine until you discover that in fact there is chametz here. An even better beer than bedika is direct observation. Not seeing things is not as strong as seeing things. So up until that point, you had the best beer available was the bedika, which told you the facts are your house is chametz free. Then you made a discovery of chametz. Now you have an even better beer in the reverse. Your house is not chametz free. But that doesn't act l'mafreya. You had the right to rely on the rov. We had the right to assume these are the facts. But then I discovered that those are not the facts. So mikan alaba, you can't rely on the rov anymore. The bedika doesn't make your house chametz free. I mean, you find the chametz, you get rid of it. But a beer doesn't create facts. It's mevar facts. Like going back to Cheskas Habatim versus Kinyan Chazaka. Right? A beer tells me I have evidence as to what the facts are. If it's sufficient evidence, I'll assume that those are the facts. Cheskas Habatim Gimel Shanim. I'm going to prove I must have bought the house. I've been living in this house for the last 15 years and no one said boo. It must be that I bought this house legally. Okay, that sounds like pretty strong proof. And indeed, it will, as we're going to, when we get dig into the parak after Yantif, indeed, it is often very strong proof. Until Eidim show up and the star shows up, and now I have more evidence that, in fact, the guy is a Ghana. Okay, even stronger evidence. Nish. But the beard doesn't make facts, but it allows me to figure out what the facts must be. Yeah, one last question. Go.
For the case of like the Shnei Shvili, if there is, he said that since there's a Safek and there's no road to prove one way or another, we should just go based on the Chazaka and maintain the previous status quo. But if it's really a 50-50 chance, why not just tell them both, just go in a mikvah? Like, why not just play it safe?
The Tosis does indeed say, Tosis says that's why the Mishnah spoke about the food. Because in terms of the people, we would advise them to become, to go through with Hazash, Shlishi, Shriya, Paradum, become Tar, because sooner or later you're going to end up touching the same thing, you're going to make problems. That's what Torah says. In Acharami, practically we advise both people going forward, make sure to undergo the Tara process. Again, easier said than done. But up until this point, that's because we're worried about future issues. But fundamentally, we're telling each of them, you continue to act as Tara as you were. Except if you overlap, then you're going to all of a sudden, that's another way of not having a suffix. If they both touch the same item, there's no longer any suffix. So Chazaka stops working there also. Not because of the beer of Rove, but because of the beer of mathematics. Because the process of that's 100% beer. I know that one of the two of them walked over a mace, and now they both touch the same thing. So I know that thing was touched by someone who touched the mace. So that's another situation where chazaka stops working because of the beer. There are other nafkaminas as well. I'll mention one that you can take a look at now if you want, or over the course of Yomtiv, and I'll speak one out briefly. The two additional nafkaminas, you could call them four and five, both appear in your Maamar Kamos in section Gimel. One of them you'll take a look actually at Tosis in the bottom of Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. Feel free to take a look if you like. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. Tosis, Rabbi Shechter points down a piece in Bikvei Hatzon that it relates to this question of Chazaka being a Hanhaga versus Rov being a Bir. And one other, I'll tell you, appears in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin talks about the following. Mishnah, Chavches, Amar Aleph, the Gemara going from Chavches and Aleph to Chavches and Aleph. A very bizarre type of situation. A husband, the Mishnah talks about a case where a husband says, I want to, says to his wife, he's given her a get, to divorce her an hour before he passes away. What does that mean? So the vast majority of divorces, tragically, are the result of the aftermath of acrimony, the aftermath of a relationship gone sour, a relationship that couldn't be salvaged, that wasn't salvaged, as the case may be. And usually the divorce is an expression of a tremendous amount of pain. And pain that needs to be, the emotions need to be addressed. The couple, anyone else who's connected, the fallout. Every once in a long while, rarely, you'll come across in the halacha an opposite type of scenario. A get of love. What's a get of love? He's divorcing her because he loves her. Seems very odd. So the answer is, he's mentioned the other day, the din of Yibam v'chalitza. And a husband passes away, leaving a wife and at least one brother, but no descendants. So the wife can't just, she can't move on without first either being miyabe, marrying the surviving brother, or getting chalitza. So let's imagine a scenario where that's going to be very difficult. Either there's a brother and he's, stuck behind the Iron Curtain in Soviet Russia, or he's, living on a commune in Cambodia, and there's no way to get in contact with him. Or Rahman Litzlan, he lives down the block and he's estranged and he's angry and he will do anything but grant a chalitza. So the husband loves his wife and he realizes that he's ill and doesn't have a lot more time in this world. And he loves his wife, he wants to be married to her. He also wants that when he's gone, she shouldn't be stuck and essentially an aguna to the brother who's either inaccessible or recalcitrant. So he wants to be married to her in life, but he wants to die unmarried to her. And that way there'll be, if when he dies they're still married, then there's a chiv yibam v'chalitza. If she gets divorced a minute before he passes away, so then there's no yibam v'chalitza. So he could give her a get now, but he doesn't want to give her a get now. He wants to be married to her. But he wants to give her a get that will be valid only right before he passes away. That's a Mishnah get. Again, emotionally the opposite of the vast majority of divorce situations. That's what I said before. This is a rare get of love. So, now the shayla is, so let's say a person, the husband does this. Hareza Gitech should get hands with the get, but he says it's not taking effect. Now it should take effect an hour before I die. T minus one. So, what shayla immediately erupts? Now with your Torah Sasvekas caps on.
In this case before, it might be an issue of, I think it was Yichud, if the man's going to die an hour later, then the divorce took effect and he's in their room with
Yichud and all sorts of things. Or let's say the husband's a Kohen and the wife eats Truma because she's an Eishes Kohen. until she's no longer an Eishes Kohen, then she cannot eat truma. And so on and so forth. The question, the moment he gives her the get, he said, it's only valid, it's only take effect an hour before I die. The problem is, so the moment she gets the get, if he's going to die in the next 60 minutes, she's divorced now. If not, then not. And it's a rolling suffix. At any point in time, you're not sure, well, did the get already kick in? Will he pass away within 60 minutes? So the Gemara says she right away she's a suffix migrations. Right away she's a suffix migrations. So the Gemara wants to know really why, but why not say chazaka? The guy's alive now. So Chazaka tells me he'll be alive in an hour from now also. I don't know whether he's going to be alive an hour from now. Chazaka tells me he will be. And there is such a thing as a Chazkas Chai. The husband, we don't know where the husband is. He was alive 6 months ago. We assume he's still a Chazkas Chai, he's still alive now. So why not say, he's alive now, assume he'll still be alive in an hour from now. So the Gemara says, no, you can't use Chazaka to predict the future. Shema Meis lo Chayshina and Shema Yamas Chayshina. Why? As a matter of fact, if you look at the Daf Lama Gimel, we do use Rov to predict the future. But Chazaka cannot work to predict the future. Making predictions, yeah, you can only do with a Rov, not with a Chazaka. Why? Now, I have to suggest to that zone. Yeah, because Rove is it's factual. It doesn't matter past, present, or future. Here are the facts. If we can, if the rove tell, if I can statistically, 85% chance that this is going to happen tomorrow, that's right. That's where you assume the facts are it's going to happen tomorrow. So we are mavar or otherwise. But chazaka is just a rule of behavior. It says continue to act as you've acted in the past. It doesn't help the future. It's not actually addressing the past. It's just a rule of behavior. So this is this major concept in terms of Rov and Chazaka, in terms of appreciating their different ways of dealing with Suffolk. Sometimes we actually mivar what the Suffolk is, and sometimes Halacha just says, we don't know what the answer to the Suffolk is, so we're just going to tell you what to do. Practically, here's how you're going to handle it. And that's a bechalal, an important hakira to be aware of. Bira versus Hanaga. Specifically, Rav Shimon suggests, and this is in Rav Shimon's Sefer Sha'ar Yosher, Rav Shimon Shkop wrote a Sefer together with my grandfather-in-law, Rav Yishai Shapiro. Rav Shimon was Rosh Hashiva, and he hired this bacher, Rav Yishai Shapiro from the Mir, to write it. He had a very good style. So the story of the family is that Zayin Shapiro said to him, I'll agree on the conditions that I get a private chavrusha with you. In other words, we'll work through the sugya, and then I'll write it, and I'll come back to you. And then, so every parent, they work through the sugya together, and then he wrote it, and then Rav Shimon edited it, and then moved on. That Sha'ar Yosher is Rav Shimon's Sefer on the world of Taras HaSfeikis. And Sha'ar Beis, Perek Beis, Rav Shimon discusses Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif, and develops this idea. So if you want, you want to look up inside Sinai Ma'amakam, this is Mo'a Khan, on the exact location, which I think I gave you a particular Dira Maskos to look at. Perek Beis is long. To have in mind this pair of concepts, this Chakira, a bechal, you'd be mavara suffix, you're just given a hanaga to what to do because the suffix remains a suffix, and that impacts everything. That impacts how you read the sugi in the kedush da'pei, and it impacts how you read the sugi in pesachim da'biyud, and five nafkaminas in terms of when chazaka works and rov doesn't, when chazaka works and rov doesn't, excuse me, when chazaka works and rov doesn't, when rov works and when chazaka doesn't, and how rov and chazaka operate when they collide. And why it is that the Chachamim say, in general, if it's a strong enough rove, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. If it's a weak rove, then the Gemara says, Psachim daf tes. If it's a very weak rove, the rove is also merely hanhaga. So then, ein safik motzi v'dei v'adif. Rove does not win against chazaka. But when it's a strong enough rove, it's a rove bari, not merely a rove garua, and the rove actually is being mavar or something, so then, muta kamandalei seidam. The rove is actually a birur, a meila. Chazaka has no room to operate. because this isn't Malkum Safek. This actually, the Safek has been extinguished. This lays the groundwork. This is the starting place, in my mind, for any discussion of Taurus HaSfeikas. We can head to base marriage now, and there's plenty to Chazer inside, and the plenty you haven't not yet seen the Maramakamo, so you can figure out the Chavrusa where you want to work backwards in Chazer. Looking at the Maramakomos, section Bays are the two Gemaras we have been talking about, Kiddushin and Psachim. Section Gimel, the additional Maramakomos, Nafkamina is 4 and 5. Nafkamina number 5 is that the Mishnah Gittin and the Gemara. Nafkamina number 4, which we did not talk about, you can take a peek, is that Tosis laid in the bottom of Chum Dat Yidal from an Alf. Section Dalid is what we had mentioned about when Rov is very weak and therefore does not win against Chazaka. We say in Savik Motzi Midei Vader. And this is the starting point. Our next step, the next step right now is we head down to the Beis HaMedrash. So we have plenty to work on, to think through, and to process B'chavrusa. We'll come back after Yom Tov Emir Tzeshem, and we're gonna begin to narrow in on Cheskas Habatim is not just Safek, but specifically Safek Mammon. And to appreciate specifically Safek Mammon, we're gonna Emir Tzeshem come back from Yom Tov with the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Vav, then the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf, and finally we're ready to dive in to Cheskas Habatim. We're going to develop some of the basics of specifically Safek Mammon, Hamotzi Mechavei Avaraya, Cheskas Marakama, the Sugvahu Arba, and then the stage will be set to begin to talk about that tool in the toolkit of Taurus HaSfeikas, which is the primary focus of our parak, not the only focus, but the primary focus of that is Cheskas Gimel Shana. We're ready to deal with that thoroughly.